Welcome to night two of the bracket season nightly recaps here on the College Basketball Bonanza. My name's Nicholas Hodel, coming to you from Las Vegas tonight. Nick Keneally is back in Phoenix on the campus of Arizona State University in downtown Phoenix. It's been a crazy day, crazy night. I know, I'm sure you've been watching some hoops all day as well as I have.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, just, you know, a lot of great games today, you know, some chalk games, but there were some, you know, some big upsets. So, you know, I'm excited to just jump right into it here.
Yeah, that is absolutely the case. And biggest story of the day in bracket season is our first final is all set and ready to go. And it is the top two seeds. It is Kennesaw State against Liberty, set up to play on Sunday afternoon for the A-Sun Championship and the number one seed that comes with it. The biggest basketball game ever hosted on Kennesaw State's campus will be on Sunday for what will be a big matchup. This is a matchup I think most people were expecting, the two of us included, and then how they got there. Kennesaw State, it was a 9-point victory over Lenscomb today, and certainly a game that Kennesaw State kind of had control of for quite a decent amount of this, but you could tell the Kennesaw State crowds are really helping the Owls. And when things got tight there about really within the second half, Kennesaw State found a way to pull away from the Lenscomb team that was really trying to get themselves an upset after being down like quite a lot entering halftime and early on in that second half.
Oh, absolutely. You know, considering the game that Kennesaw State had before this, where they nearly escaped a loss to Queens, this was such a big bounce back game for them, of course, on their home floor. You know, the fans were really into this one, and, you know, it paid off for them. You know, they battled throughout the game, but it's really crazy to see, you know, with how tight it was at times that Lipscomb really actually never had a lead in this one. And, you know, Kennesaw State had larger leads during the game that they got cut down. But overall, you know, ending at that 9 point was, you know, a good statement on how that game went. Solid offensive performances for Kennesaw State. Really just, you know, it added up to that solid win there.
Yeah, I think this is a huge credit to the Owls for not backing down when things got tight there in that second half, to your point of Lenscomb not having a lead. I think it's a lot of credit to the Owls not backing down, just really holding on for dear life when things got tight. And that's kind of what you have to do this time of year. You just got to hold on tight when things are not going your way. And certainly a lot of individual performances on both sides to really be proud of there in that particular semifinal. And I guarantee you the KSU Convocation Center is going to be rocking on Sunday when Liberty comes to town after the Flames took care of Eastern Kentucky by 6. They had to really use a good run over the course of the last few minutes within that second half. And certainly a big opportunity looms for Liberty as far as everything is concerned.
And, you know, this was a really, really solid second half from actually came into it trailing, but, you know, they were able to go on a pretty solid run, you know, and it was really tight for a lot of it. But, you know, it wasn't until the end, the last, I'd say, minute. So, I mean, honestly, the last couple of possessions where it really became clear that Liberty was taking this one home. And, you know, it a lot of thanks to Darius McGee with his 29 points. But, you know, you can't also overlook the 25 points you had from Colin Porter. It was just a really good duo performance from the both of them on the offensive side of the ball to really push them towards that victory. Now, you know, they punched their ticket to the championship game.
Yeah, and this is a performance for Liberty. They were down as many as 13 about over halfway through the first, and they had to really get a nice little run going for themselves to close out the first within striking distance, only two back of EKU at the break. And then they really just caught on going into the final minutes of that one. And I certainly think that Liberty is on the right path. And again, very similar to what Kenneth Salcedo had to go through. Just kind of survived when things got tight. And I certainly think Darius McGee, another big part of it. But I think also, I think people may underestimate the impact of freshman Colin Porter on this game. 25 points for him. 10 of 16 from the field. If he can do that right alongside Darius McGee against Kennesaw State, I think it's going to be incredibly difficult for the Owls to come out on top in that particular final on Sunday. So that is really one to look forward to. Elsewhere, also a chalky day in some quarterfinal action over in the Horizon League. All the top four seeds won that one, and including Milwaukee, which made both of us look very stupid by really just taking out Wright State by as good as it did. And also another bummer, Antoine Davis did not break the all-time college basketball scoring record in the men's Division I game. Came up just a few points shy of breaking that mark. Came up 3 points shy of tying the mark. But what an effort he had still for Detroit Mercy. A five-point loss there for Detroit Mercy against the one seed Youngstown State. Milwaukee, as I mentioned earlier, beat Rice State by 17 points at home. Cleveland State had a big battle to deal with against Robert Morris. That one went into overtime, but Cleveland State ended up getting a five-point win in the overtime period. And Northern Kentucky, 81-74. Before we look at the bigger picture here, let's talk about that Cleveland State game a little bit closer. An overtime performance here from this one. Robert Morris really had a really big lead on Cleveland State in the early minutes of that second half, about as many as 12. And that one got really tight again down the stretch in regulation, went to overtime, and Cleveland State just kind of got away from Robert Morris in the extra period.
Oh, yeah. You know, this looked like at times, you know, this was almost in the bag as, you know, as far as that can go here in bracket season. This looked like it was fairly in the bag for Robert Morris. You know, they had that double-digit lead going into almost, you know, the last half of the second half. You know, they were scoring at a pretty good mark, but, you know, it really started to slow down for them. They started missing a lot of, you know, bad shots, shots that they shouldn't be missing. And Cleveland State just went on a run, and, you know, they were able to keep that momentum going into overtime. That's really what won the game for Cleveland State. You know, great scoring performances throughout the team, especially for Tristan and Arana had 23 on 10 to 17 shooting. You know, he was really the team leader in this game.
Yeah, I was about to mention his performance. 7 boards, 3 assists, 3 blocks, and a couple of steals for him. He was doing a little bit of everything out there for the Vikings in that particular game. So within these four seeds, Youngstown State, Northern Kentucky, and a semifinal for them on Monday, and then also Milwaukee and Cleveland State there on Monday as well. Which one of those top four seeds do you think is most set up for success within the two-day stretch on Monday and Tuesday in Indianapolis?
I don't know. It's looking pretty good for Youngstown State right now. You know, they were able to take down a pretty hot Detroit Mercy team. You know, in my opinion, I think they're the best team in this conference. You know, I picked them in the bracket breakdown that you could have seen on Twitter a couple of days ago. They were my pick for the winner of this tournament. That still completely applies here. Just a really solid team.
Yeah, and when you limit Antoine Davis to 7 of 26 from the field, I think you're doing something right there. He was also 4 of 16 from 3. One may argue he may have taken a little bit too many shots, but I think he was absolutely trying to go for that scoring record, just couldn't get it there. So semifinals there Monday and Tuesday. Out of the MVC first round action there, and it went pretty chalky here, all chalk. In St. Louis, and we dissected a little bit closer here, and there was just not too many surprising results within that particular set of games. Really about the closest game you got was a 13-point win for Northern Iowa to start the day against Illinois State. Everything else was just not all that close, really kind of showing off the strength of the 5-8 teams against the bottom third of the MVC, which sets up the traditional 1-8 seeds in the quarterfinal on Friday, which could be a bit interesting. We'll head to that a little bit later on, but definitely something to keep an eye on. Quarterfinal Friday in Arch Madness, one of the better days in all bracket season. Really, as is the Horizon quarterfinals as well. I really love Horizon League quarterfinal day as well. Elsewhere, though, there were some other upsets in the Sun Belt tournament in Pensacola. The second round there went chalky for the most part. Instead, except I should say, the end of the day, Texas State grabbing a win against Old Dominion in the 6-11 matchup. Second win in 2 days now, and it wasn't close. 65-36. An ugly performance from Old Dominion, only 23% from the floor, 2 of 14 from deep, and here's the real kicker: 10 of 19 from the free throw line. That is a complete and utter yikes there for the Monarchs. Meanwhile, for Texas State, what do you think that says about them? They're able to go in there, really recover, get that day of rest, prepare for Old Dominion, and go out and not just beat them, but utterly humiliate the Monarchs in the conference tournament.
Oh, it says a lot, especially about their defense. You know, they held them to 14 points in the entire first half, 22 in the second half. You know, they just completely shut them down. And I think it says a lot about not only the skill that they possess, but, you know, the preparation. You can't go in there, blow a team out like that without being well coached, without being well prepared for your opponents. And I think this is really going to set the tone for them going into the rest of the Sun Belt tournament here. I mean, this is a team, you know, that, you know, I wasn't necessarily looking out for going into this. But I mean, they are catching fire right now. And it wasn't even, you know, their offensive performance, which, you know, we've looked at a lot today. But this one was a sole focus on their defense. I mean, just absolutely put Old Dominion in a box.
Yeah, and I certainly think it'll be a much tougher matchup for them, but you give them another day to rest, scout, work on some things in the film room. Certainly think that Texas State might have a bit of a more shot than some people might think. It's still an outside chance, but you never know this time of year. That's why you play the games. Over in the Patriot League, we got ourselves a solid 6-7 semifinal here as American took out Navy and Lafayette took out Lehigh, giving us both a loss in the nightly bracket season picks. Certainly the nature of the way the bracket draw kind of works out. I want to start out, though, quickly with Lafayette, a 71-64 win. Another instance where really good first half defense from Lafayette, only allowing 18 first half points from Lehigh. But Lehigh got it going. I mean, they really gave this an absolute run down the end, but it just was not meant to be here, Nick, for Lehigh.
I mean, yeah, getting it to within 5 points going into, you know, one of the last possessions going in the second half, that's completely surprising, seeing, you know, how much Lafayette completely controlled this first half of the action. And, you know, seeing the run that Lehigh made and, you know, still coming up short, it was really surprising. I mean, just to see that the resilience that they showed in the second half, you know, the ability to bounce back, obviously couldn't get the win. Now they're eliminated. But, you know, still certainly impressed. But, you know, the highlight of this game has to be the first half defense here from Lafayette.
Yeah, that is absolutely the case there. And you know, that defense will give Lafayette a shot against American, who took out Navy by a single point in a game that turned into a defensive slugfest fast. I mean, Navy won the second half 24-19. That is just ugly, if I had to say so myself. I mean, you got these teams going a lot of scoring droughts. But, you know, for American, you know, and you're going to see this over and over and over again this month, that these kinds of games, you have to survive. You know, you have to just do whatever is necessary to give yourselves a shot at the end of these games. And I absolutely believe that American did that. And I know this is one of those instances where the conference has the campus sites hosting games. It's not on a neutral floor, so certainly that also goes into it and makes it even more impressive for American. But I mean, I give a lot of props to American for really kind of battling through its own adversity, you know, and letting that defense give themselves a shot to pull off the upset. And they did exactly that.
Absolutely. You know, it's pretty rare sometimes, you know, you see a team that makes 21 of their 38 shots. I mean, that's not a lot of attempts, especially in, you know, today's basketball where we're seeing teams hit, you know, 60 or 70 attempts, going 21 for 38, you know, sticking out the win. You know, they turned the ball over a good amount, obviously, you know, on the road, you know, in this championship or in this conference tournament, you know, you have these kinds of games. And they were still able, you know, with their defense to pull out the win. I mean, Navy only shot 7 free throws, made 4. That's not something you see very often. But, you know, it really just came down to their defense. Navy kept shooting and Navy kept missing. And American, you know, they were just able to take advantage of that. You know, they led the rebound battle. And you know, that's really where they won the game, was on the boards.
Yeah, for sure. And we nearly had a third upset on seeding in that Army-Boston-U game, the 4-5 matchup. Army taking it by 2 in overtime there, and Colgate doing typical Colgate things, 92-73 over Loyola Merriman. I had to imagine that Colgate was pretty happy with how crazy the rest of the conference was there, but that'll be an interesting one there. Semifinals on Sunday, Colgate and Army and American and Lafayette. And then over out here in Las Vegas, a few blocks down from where I am in the New York right now at the Orleans Arena. You know, for a first round, you know, you're not going to see too many people in the stands, but certainly a good time at Orleans Arena. Regardless, 2 games today out there at Orleans Arena I had the chance to watch after seeing the Arizona women's team get knocked around by UCLA a little bit in the second half. First off, Portland and San Diego. Portland was cooking all night long. It seemed like every time you looked, they were making a 3, and that's exactly what happened. Portland shot a ton of threes. 36 of their 51 shots were from deep. And when you have a percentage of 53% from deep, it's hard to blame Portland for taking as many threes as they did. 19 of 36. And this is a game that I really thought it was pretty clear that when Portland was getting set, they were getting open threes, slightly contested threes, kind of didn't matter there. When they were getting set and they had an opportunity to set and take the three, chances are it was going in. The off-balance threes, the heavily contested threes, those ones that weren't quite going down. Portland was being given some space, given an inch, they took advantage of it. Given the opportunity to set, they took advantage of it. And they really did so in a big way here, particularly in that second half. San Diego, I thought, did a really good job of sort of getting through Portland's barrage of threes early and just kind of battling through it, giving itself a shot. But then in the second half, San Diego, as time went on, really just had no shot there. And certainly Portland, I think with that three-point shooting, if it's sustainable, they're going to have quite a shot against BYU tomorrow. All we're in the other game, Pacific 84-71 over Pepperdine. Pacific had control really the whole way. They took it early on. Pepperdine tried to make it interesting in the first half. Pacific got the lead back up before halftime. It never wavered for the most part there in that one. Pacific just had total control there against Pepperdine. Really, really fun evening there at the Orleans Arena. Just any conference tournament that is close to you, I would highly recommend checking it out. Even if it's just a first round game, still think you will have all kinds of fun there. So we get into what is to come tomorrow. It is still quite the day in college hoops. You're going to get OVC semifinals after Southeast Missouri took out Tennessee State tonight and UT Martin defeated SIUE. You'll see Morehead State and Tennessee Tech enter the tournament there in the semifinal round to where they have an opportunity to win and move on to Saturday's championship. Like I mentioned, MVC quarterfinals taking place. And the WCC will have its second round of games. So still quite a lot to look forward to. As per usual, we do have 6 games on the pick slate for tomorrow. We're going to go through all of them right now. You'll catch the graphic in case you missed any of it over on our Twitter at College Bonanza. I'd highly recommend you give us a follow there over the course of time this bracket season, as, of course, we're just getting started. And to start this off, we'll go with the two OVC semifinals, Moorhead State, Southeastern Missouri, and Tennessee Tech and UT Martin. And I think UT Martin has kind of built some momentum. And it's one of those matchups where I think UT Martin might have a little bit more success against Tennessee Tech's defense and on the other side of the ball with Tennessee Tech's offense. I like UT Martin. I also like Moorhead State. That one, I think, will be quite convincing here, Nick. What about you for both of these OVC semifinals?
I mean, I have to agree with you. Moorhead State obviously looks like, you know, the hottest team out here in the OVC. And, you know, UT Martin, they're also, you know, a very, very solid team. I could also see them winning this game as well. I feel like that one will be less, you know, solidified as the Moorhead State win. You know, I could still see this one going down to a pretty close one, but I'm still expecting UT Martin to come out with a win here.
We got two MVC quarterfinals on the pick slate as well for tomorrow. Indiana State and Belmont, the 4-5 matchup, and Southern Illinois, Missouri State, the 3-6 matchup. I'm going to go with Indiana State. They're at the 4-5 game. Really like what they did against Evansville. You know, it's a typical blowout, but they really made some strides. They took care of business. They'll have the momentum going into that one, and I think that will be an interesting battle. I'm expecting a close game, but I am going to take the Sycamores there, and I think Southern Illinois has a bit more of an advantage over Murray State. It's not by much, but I'd like the Saluskis to advance to the semifinals there. For both of those quarters, Nick, what are you feeling?
For this first game here, the Belmont versus Indiana State game, I'm going to be taking Belmont. I mean, their offense is ranked, you know, top 80 in the KenPom for a reason. You know, they've been putting numbers up on the board this year, and I feel like that streak will continue here against Indiana State. So I'm taking Belmont in that one. And then Missouri State versus Southern Illinois. I'm going to have to take Southern Illinois, just, you know, a great team. They've had a lot of success in the regular season. And, you know, I can really see that trend continuing. Very, very solid team. So I'm taking them for the win.
We have one of the Big South quarterfinals that are happening Friday here, and it's the late one, Radford and Winthrop. Kind of used to both of these teams having some success in the Big South. Winthrop, not so much. Radford, a little bit of success, but nowhere near UNC Asheville. I do like Radford in this matchup here, the 3 seed over the 6. What are you thinking here?
I'd have to agree here as well. Radford, you know, just has been a great team so far this year. You know, their defense is pretty good. Their offense, you know, a little bit below average, but I still think Radford has the abilities within them, you know, to advance.
And then finally for us in the picks for tomorrow, Portland and BYU second round action at the Orleans Arena. And I love what I saw today from Portland in the Orleans Arena, but I do not think this 3-point shooting is sustainable against BYU. I'm going to take BYU here. But I do think, though, that this will actually be a pretty decently close battle. I think Portland will shoot itself into the game. Ultimately, I think BYU will have just enough to escape with a win and move on within the stepladder gauntlet.
You know, and that's really the thing with these high-firing offenses that take a lot of threes. It's all about sustainability. But considering the way that Portland was able to close out that game, I think that they have a pretty good shot at winning this. You know, it would be a pretty major upset for this Portland program. But I will have to take Portland here.
All right. So we'd have some differences there and a few different spots there for tomorrow's set of picks in what is another busy day in bracket season. That is going to do it for us. Again, you can follow us on Twitter at College Bonanza so you don't miss any moment of the action. We'll update you throughout bracket season there. And also forgive us a follow on your preferred podcast platforms that you do not miss. Another nightly recap from us as we're doing it all throughout March. and all the craziness it will bring. And trust me, it will get more action-packed on a night-by-night basis as we continue along the journey to getting a field of 68 teams throughout the conference tournaments in the next 2 weeks. For Nick Keneally, I've been Nicholas Odell. Enjoy the set of games tomorrow. We'll see you right back here tomorrow night on the College Basketball Analysis Bracket Season Nightly Recaps.